pray that as we worship together and consider all that our Savior has done, we pray that he'll be glorified and lifted high, that you'll be pleased in all that you hear and see this morning. And we pray that our hearts will be changed, that we'll be drawn closer to you and to one another as believers, strengthening each other in our common faith and going forth from this place to proclaim his message to a lost and dying world. Father, thank you for this time together. May your Spirit bless it richly. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I usually try to take part some way, and most of the time it's a poem, but Pastor's got a poem today, so thought I'd find something else to read. This is from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and I guess some of you know he was a staunch Calvinist, for a while he didn't like Christmas, but he found a way to enjoy it and had several good things to say. So I'll just read some of his thoughts. And I'm not going to be too good at doing this, so just bear with me. All right. Remember the miracle of Christmas. The infinite has become the infant. Mary took the Lord in her arms. Oh, that you may bear him in yours. Ah, Christians, ring the bells of your heart. Fire the salute of your most joyous songs. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Dance, O my heart, and ring out peals of gladness. Ye drops of blood within my veins, dance every one of you. Oh, all my nerves become harp strings, and let gratitude touch you with angelic fingers. Remember the message of Christmas, for this child is not born to you unless you are born to this child. The birth of Christ should be the subject of supreme joy. No forms of etiquette are required in entering a stable. So if you desire to come to Christ, you may come to him as you are. Come to him, ye that are weary and heavy laden. Come to him, ye that are broken in spirit, ye who are bowed down in soul. Come to him, publican and harlot. Come to him, thief and drunkard. In a manger there lies unguarded from your touch and unshielded from your gaze. Bow the knee and kiss the Son of God. Accept him as your Savior, for he puts himself into that manger that ye may approach him. Never mind what the past has been. He can forget and forgive. Remember the meaning of Christmas. When God stoops down to man, it must mean that man is to be lifted up to God. Behold how rich and how abundant are the provisions which God has made for the high festival which we would have his servants keep, not now and then, but all the days of their lives. O blessed thought, the star of Bethlehem shall never set. Jesus, the fairest among 10,000, the most lovely among the beautiful, is a joy forever. Remember the mission of Christmas. Come then, I will try and argue with you to induce you to do so, that I may send you home this Christmas day to be missionaries in your localities to which you belong, and to be real preachers, though you are not so by name. When you are at home on Christmas Day, let no one see your face until God has seen it. Be up in the morning, wrestle with God, and if your friends are not converted, wrestle with God for them. You must then keep this Christmas by telling to your fellow men what God's own Holy Spirit has seen fit to reveal to you. It is not office, it is earnestness. It is not position, it is grace which will enable us to glorify God. Tell out what God has written within. There is the little cluster around the hearth on Christmas night. There is the little congregation in the workshop. There is a little audience somewhere to whom you might tell out of Jesus. Love to the lost ones. Remember the ministry of Christmas. Express your joy, first as the angels did by public ministry. I wish everyone that keeps Christmas this year would keep it as the angels kept it. Set an example to others how to behave on that day, and especially since the angels gave glory to God, let us do the same. Find something wherewith to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and make glad the mourner. Remember, it is goodwill towards men. Try, if you can, to show them the goodwill at this special season. And if you will do that, the poor will say with me that indeed they wish there were 6 Christmases in the year. If we are angry all year round, this week, this next week shall be an exception. That if we have snarled at everybody last year, this Christmas time we will strive to be kindly affectionate to others. And if we have lived all this year at enmity with God, I pray that by His Spirit He may this week give us peace with Him. I will say no more except at the close of this sermon to wish every one of you, when the day shall come, the happiest Christmas you ever had in your lives.
He put this online. I think he's the one that wrote it. I'm not positive about that. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. You know, one of our hymns said that little Lord Jesus, no crying he made. Well, this is the opposite one. It says a baby cried. And you know, it does say in what place Jesus wept. You remember at the tomb of Lazarus? Okay, so there's no reason for us to believe that a baby would not cry. You know, how else is he going to let you know what he needs? So anyway, this is the poem. A baby cried, and the voice of God, silent for 400 years, was heard in Bethlehem. A baby cried, and a new star, brighter than all other stars, lit the evening sky. A baby cried, and Mary wiped the tears that wet the face of God. A baby cried, and his name was Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A baby cried, and Joseph held the hand that would one day heal the sick and make the blind to see. A baby cried, and shepherds came to worship one who leads by water still and pastures always green. A baby cried, and wise men came, their gifts to bring, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A baby cried, and the age of law became the age of grace. Amen. Thank you. For our scripture reading, we're going to look for Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning.
Good morning, everyone. This song reminds us of that holy night when Christ was born.
Enough of that, Stephanie, every time I heard this.
Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, it says in 2 Corinthians 9:15. That gift, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift that outshines all others. We praise his holy name. Again, it says in Galatians 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much this morning for this opportunity to be together to sing these Christmas songs that mean so much to us, our Father, and stir our hearts. And we thank you, dear Father, for all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for each person who is here today. And Lord, you know our hearts, you know our thoughts, you know what's happening in our lives, and we pray that you will meet our needs, O Lord, and help us to look to you for every situation and know that you will never fail us. We pray for any today that have spiritual needs, our Father, someone who may not have yet received the Lord Jesus as Savior. We pray that this would be the day of salvation for that one. Lord, may your holy will be done. Be with those that cannot be with us today, our Father. We know some are ill, some are recovering. We pray for each one of them that you'll watch over them and keep them in your care and meet their needs. We pray for the elderly, our Father, who are unable to come out and watch over them and help them. We pray for any who may be suffering from this terrible virus that's going around and pray that soon it will be gone. We just pray, Lord, that you'll lead us and guide us and help us to love you and serve you and follow in the way that you would have us to go. Thank you so much for that unspeakable gift that you've given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Well, Christmas should be, always has been for me in the past, the most joyful time of the year. I've always enjoyed the bright lights, festivities, and everything that it brings, the gifts, especially for the children, that their eyes brighten up and they enjoy so much receiving these gifts and thinking about all that the Lord has done for them. And, you know, it's wonderful to be able to worship together. I certainly appreciate this service this morning. And as I've often said before, it would be wonderful if we could sing, have special songs more often. But anyway, leave that as it is. But Christmas time is a wonderful time to worship the Lord, isn't it? And so we really have a good time doing that. And I hope everything will continue to go well throughout the holidays and into the new year, you know, that we might put our faith and trust in the Lord and not fear everything around us, you know. The Bible tells us very clearly, you know, in the last days perilous times are coming, right? We know that. We know it's going to get worse. But we are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, right? And so that we have nothing to fear, right? Nothing to fear. So we can just go ahead and serve the Lord. Jesus is coming again. We're looking forward to that, right? And rejoicing in all that He is doing for us. So let's have a Merry Christmas. Let's have a wonderful time together serving the Lord. Thinking about this unspeakable gift, you know, that God gave to us. Something we didn't deserve, right? Think about Israel. God promised to them a long time ago that the Messiah was coming. The Savior was coming. And they waited and waited and waited, but He didn't come until we find here this morning, that day that God says, okay, this is it. Let's go. You know? And He went. Thinking about this, we read the story a while ago. But preparing for His coming. You know, God set everything in motion long before this ever happened. We read about it over in the Old Testament, right? The prophecies that came through the prophet Isaiah especially. He speaks about the virgin that's going to bring forth a son. And His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it's not just a phrase, this is something that's true. God Himself took upon Himself human flesh and dwelt among us, right? He came to save His people from their sins, it says. Yeah. And God prepared everything ahead of time. He sent His special angel, you remember? Over in the book of Daniel, we find Gabriel coming and talking with him, and then Daniel is talking about the Messiah coming, right? And then we find He comes here in the beginning of the book of Luke, looking back at verse 26. Let's look there for a moment. Luke 1:26, we find it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's a good question, isn't it? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So God is preparing everything here. Here, Gabriel, the special angel, he told Zacharias, he says, I'm the one who stands in the presence of God. You know, you don't mess around with Gabriel. He's one of the most important ones. And we find him several times in the scriptures. But here, he comes to Mary and delivers his message and tells her that she is the one that God has chosen. Now, this is something interesting, you think. They tell us Mary was probably a teenager, you know. Just a girl there living in Nazareth. She was engaged, yes, to Joseph. But they had never been together. And in this way. And she was still a virgin. And that's the important thing, isn't it? To realize that Jesus Christ is different than any other person. Right? Because he was born without a father, a human father. God himself is the father of the Lord Jesus. And he is both God and man. The only one of his kind. He's the only one like that. And so God prepared all this that he might come to be our Savior. Right? Because who else is going to do it? Mankind has sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? There was no other person that could pay the price for our sins. Now at Easter time, or right before Easter, we celebrate or commemorate the death of our Lord Jesus, right? His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. But that's the reason he came. This wonderful baby that we worship and adore, that we celebrate, grew up to be a man, to take our sins upon himself and to die on a cross, that we might be set free from all of our sins. Have you been set free from your sins? Huh? Yes. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, right? He is the Savior. We can't do anything to save ourselves. But he is the one who can redeem us from all sin and bring us to God. So here we find this wonderful story. I'm sure you know it. You've heard it over and over, haven't you? I think. But it's always good to look back at. We find here all that God did in bringing this to pass. The emperor, the most powerful man on earth at that time, no doubt, right? Politically speaking, thought he was doing something special. He issued a decree that everybody had to go back home to register for taxation, right? And God used that. And God moved him, I believe, to make this decree so that Joseph would go back to Bethlehem, where his family had lived, where he had been probably brought up. And it all had to come to pass. Because it tells us over in the book of Micah, you remember that it says, Thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth him who is the governor, the one who has been from of old, the one who has always been. And speaking there about the Lord Jesus. And so that had to be fulfilled as well. And this decree went forth that they would go back to Bethlehem. And it says, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Mary, you know, can you imagine what was going through their minds? Mary was just a teenage girl. She had never had any relations with any man. And the angel comes and tells us, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be the Son of God. Can you imagine? And go and tell other people that, you know. Here she comes, very evidently pregnant, right? And tells her neighbor, you know, this baby is Son of God. What would you think if someone told you that? Yeah. And you can imagine the embarrassment, the rumors going around. Oh, yeah, Mary, yeah. And at any rate, I don't want to get carried away here. But we see here that she has to bear a lot. And then Joseph, being associated with her, gladly takes her to be his wife because the angel had told him. In his dream, he got the message that she was telling the truth and that he should take her and not fear to take her as his wife. And so he did. Joseph deserves a lot of credit, you know that. Huh? Here's a man. Can you imagine trying to raise the Son of God? I mean, come on. What do you feed him? I mean, what do you know. I mean, he's a special person. But anyway, I think, you know, if you want to know the truth, I think they probably raised him just like any other person, right? Jesus was a human being. He was. He didn't go around, you know, floating through the air or anything like that. He was real as we are, a human being, and yet a very special one, divine, who had lived from all eternity and came down to earth to be with us that he might give us his salvation. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. So we find here, they come to Bethlehem. Mary's about to have the baby. And it says in verse 7, Luke chapter 2 again. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And you know, I think that's another thing that God organized, that he planned, that this is the very place where Jesus would be born. He sends the angels to go and tell the shepherds, right? Tells them exactly where they are, and they know who he is because of where he's found, right? In this manger. I don't know. Some people say it was a cave. Some people say it was something else. I don't know. But at any rate, we know that this was all preordained of God. He orchestrated the whole scene. And so the angels go and tell the shepherds. The shepherds are out keeping their watch over their flock one night. You know, that must have been a lonely job, don't you think? Shepherds out there in the dark, you know, with all these sheep. And I don't think it would be too glamorous of a job, you know? And yet, on this particular night, they had something very unusual that happened. I think that they never, ever forgot again, right? The angel appears to them. All of a sudden, this great light brightens up the sky, and they say, the angel says, "Fear not." They were terrified, you know? He says, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news. The Savior is born." Verse 11, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He's the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for. Israel has been looking for hundreds of years. The Messiah is here, the Savior, the Redeemer. And then he says this is how you'll know who he is. You'll find him wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, you see. So God organized all that. And then the heavenly choir opened up. A multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And that's the one I like. I make a comment on this every time because I like that. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Jesus came for everyone. Did you know that? It's not just for those who do His will. You know? He came to save us from our sins. He wants us to turn to Him, to put our faith and trust in Him. He came to save everyone if they will only believe. But you do have to believe, right? That's it. And people that refuse to believe do not receive the salvation that God is offering. That's the caveat that we have, right? That's the one thing that God requires, is that we believe. We put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and receive Him as our Savior. So the angels go away and the shepherds say, hey, okay, let's go see what this is all about. Huh? Come on. Let's go down to Bethlehem and see if this is true. See if we find this baby and who he is. And you know, they went along their way and found exactly what the angel had told them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the shepherds, as they went down, they saw it was true. And as they went back to their flock, no doubt they told everyone they saw. Hey, did you know the Messiah has come? The Savior is here, and telling the word, spreading the gospel. This is the good news. The shepherds giving out the word. And I don't know how many people paid any attention to them, you know. These were common everyday workmen. Did they listen to them? I don't know. But we find here the shepherds rejoicing. Their lives were completely changed. And we as believers in Christ today, we should be like the shepherds, going and telling others. Is it really true? Did Jesus really come? Is He the Savior? Then why don't we tell others? You know, that's the thing. We get all embarrassed or something and afraid to say something to someone, or don't want to offend anybody. People sometimes need to be offended. Amen. Right? They need to be offended, that they might change and put their faith and trust in Christ, because if they don't, they're going to be lost. And you're not doing anybody a favor by allowing them to continue on in their sins. We need to have that opportunity and that joy of spreading the gospel. May the Lord give us that strength and power to give forth the word of God, that others might receive Him, because He is the way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that's a categorical statement, isn't it? That's clear. There's no other way. So someone is trying to get there by another road is going to be sorely disappointed. Jesus is the way. And we have to put our faith and trust in Him. I hope and pray that each one of us here this morning truly knows Jesus as our Savior. If you have any doubt at all, then call upon His name. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. I believe You'll save me if I only come to You and put my faith and trust in You. And He promises, if you say that, meaning it in your heart, you'll be saved. Isn't that wonderful? God is so good. He's so gracious. And we can have eternal life simply through Him. And then we can serve Him and have the privilege of doing His will. May He guide and help us and lead us. Our Father, once again, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful story that we read about the Lord Jesus coming into this world. And we know the reason he came. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who's not saved, we pray that they would come to put their faith and trust in you, that they might truly know you and have everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.